Okay, just the one song, and after that, au revoir, my pretty. Chouchou.
Yes, dedicated to a special friend, Bette Midler. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us. It is Friday, July the 15th. We're halfway through already, can you believe it? In a few minutes, Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. We are going to talk about the Biden administration's plan to bail out private union pensions with taxpayer money. What a great idea. Come over and get my money for the private pensions of these unions. And a group of prominent conservatives have now released a report saying that their probe into the 2020 election just came out, shows that indeed Joe Biden did win. So we're going to talk about that, among other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. That should be an interesting conversation. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, we roll out Wilbur the Duck. Why isn't an Ohio college paying up in the trial damages it was assessed for a false racism change with a bakery? They're not going to pay. We're going to talk about that, so stay tuned. And we have a good one in our Ultimate Top 10. You watch the Oscars? You know how interesting they can be because they're live? We got the top 10 most awkward moments at the Oscars, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, I'm telling you, don't waste your time looking around any further. The place to get the best haircut you'll ever get is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, just north State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And again, a tip of the hat to our buddies that do Senior Voice America, precedes our show. It's on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. All right. So we got a lot going on here. Joe Manchin continues to be the little Dutch boy that sticks his finger in the dike to keep all the water from pouring into the town and drowning everybody. Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Democrat, and his staff told Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer unequivocally he is only willing to support a reconciliation bill that includes a provision to lower prescription drug prices and a two-year extension of subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. Now, he's doing it in a way so this legislation is not going to get passed. He was explicit. He will not support a bill before the midterms with any provision on energy and climate change. And let me rephrase that. He will not support a bill that has a provision on energy and climate or closing tax loopholes exploited by the wealthy and biggest corporations, despite his support for those specific things. Democrats wanted him to just pass the whole bill so they'd have something to talk about during the midterm. And he's kind of, I don't know, I think he's looking for reasons not to pass the bill, because deep down inside, he doesn't want to go back to West Virginia, where they got a lot of blue dog Democrats still, just like he is. and tell them, look, I'm going to spend more money, even though I know it's going to cause higher inflation. No, he's not going to do that. So he's the one vote. He's the one vote, because if he votes with the Democrats in the Senate, they have 50 votes, and the Republicans would have 50 votes. That ties it. But then Kamala Harris comes along, who breaks the tie, and she's a Democrat. So it's Manchin, and to a lesser extent, Kristen Sinema, that have stopped a lot of this inflation-causing legislation from being passed in the House, or excuse me, in the Senate. In the House, they got the votes, the Democrats, so they can, you know, they can pass anything they want. They're going to pass a bill codifying Roe versus Wade, and they can pass anything they want over there. They can pass a nice, huge, expensive, multi-billion dollar green energy bill. Go ahead. Nancy Schumer can lead the parade. But when it gets to the Senate, it's not going to happen. So we like Joe Manchin because of that. In the meantime, wholesale prices. I mean, those of you that are old enough to remember Jimmy Carter thought things were really bad at that point. We went into a recession. There were gas lines. The interest rate was doubled. You know, the interest rate, if you had a mortgage back then, it was like 17%, if I'm not mistaken, or 15%. Think about it. Because the last few years, a mortgage interest rate's been hovering around, what, 3 or 4%? It was 17% back. Can you imagine how much money you were paying in mortgage interest? Unbelievable. Anyway, the producer price index has risen 11.3% from a year ago. That's just that's scary. That is the most, I think, in 40 years or so. Excluding food, energy, and trade, the core price index was up 6.4%. So toss the rest in, you're at 11.3%. Jobless claims jumped up to 244,000 people. That is the highest level since November of 2021. So when Biden gets up there and says, hey, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Aren't you getting a little bit more in your paycheck now, thanks to me? There's nobody believing him anymore. He's now the lowest favorability rate of any president in our lifetime. The lowest. Where is he, by the way, these days, Ed? Did he find his way over to the Mideast? I guess he's over there somewhere. Maybe he's...
Actually, he is due to land in Saudi Arabia at any moment.
Is he being thrown out of a plane and landing? Or
no,
he...
but I said the other day, I think, wouldn't it break the ice if he just walked off Air Force One holding 2 5-gallon gas cans?
I think that would be a beautiful
visual. Would just kind of break the room up a bit.
Yeah, it would be a beautiful
visual. See him standing at the top of the stairs?
He comes out of the palace. He comes out of the palace. He says, look what I got.
He's standing at the top of the stairs with empty gas cans.
Waving at everybody. It's a beautiful thing.
Did you see the video yesterday of him shaking hands with nobody?
Oh, I've seen it a million
times.
He
turned around and there was nobody there.
Well, no. See, you don't understand, Ed. There is somebody there. He sees him. Just that you and I don't. He's shaking hands with
really
Abraham
sad.
Lincoln. He's trying to shake hands with Abraham
and,
Lincoln.
You know, when you go overseas and you do all these kind of stopovers and stuff, it's got to be taxing on a young guy, you know,
or a
middle-aged guy.
Oh, it is.
Somebody his age has got to be,
Absolutely. No, it is.
I mean, I'm sure it's nap time as much as you can on Air Force One.
I would.
You know, geez.
Yeah, absolutely right. Look, you know, we make fun of the guy, but it does take a toll on him. There's no question about it. So he is going to go over there. He won't say if he's going to bring up the guy they shot Jamil Khashoggi, the American reporter, to the Crown Prince. So that means no. Because if they were going to bring it up, I'm sure he'd want everybody to know it, right? So we'll see. If he gets more than two cans of gasoline, I would say he will consider it a positive trip, all right? So let us take our break. When we come back, we'll change gears a little bit, and we're going to talk with Rachel Gresler about this Biden pension bailout that's protecting these private unions. What is going on?
Is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us, and delighted to have back Rachel Gresler, a senior research fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with Rachel about this Biden administration, I guess you could call it a pension bailout, by taxpayers, a bailout of their pensions. Now, they've been screwing up, just like a lot of these big cities, they've been screwing up a lot of these pension programs in these different unions. What's happening? They're taking the money out. They're stealing it out of the pensions, I would suspect. We're going to find out. Rachel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Tell me about this, Rachel. Are these union elites digging into these pension funds and using it for other things, God forbid?
Well, in some cases, they have been using them by, you know, the plan managers, the union elites themselves. But what mostly has been happening is just reckless mismanagement. And so for decades, you've had union leaders sitting there and negotiating for higher pension benefits, but then they're not actually requiring any higher contributions into the system. And so they have become massively underfunded to the tune of $757 billion. What that means is everybody in these plans can count on about 42 cents on the dollar in terms of what their union has promised them. And now we've opened the door to taxpayer bailout, and about $30 million per day is directly flowing from the U.S. Treasury into these union pension plans.
Are they doing that now, or are they trying to do it?
They are already doing it.
Really? How can they get away with this?
Under the guise of COVID-19 relief, the American Rescue Plan. But these bailout, these pension problems had nothing to do with COVID-19.
No.
That $757 billion, that's a 2018 figure. It's probably worse now.
But, I mean, how can they legally get away with doing that? Is this just a bait and switch? I mean, is the little shell game thing that they're sending it one way and then redirecting it another? How can they legally take money without some sort of agreement in Congress to spend taxpayer money on it. I don't understand.
Congress passed it. What should have been done is fixing this problem. The actions that are taking place should be illegal to begin with. And so they should have fixed the rules so that unions don't have a special privilege where they're allowed to promise these benefits and not actually set aside the money for them.
Oh, okay. So they snuck through legislation at some point earlier that's been approved. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, historically, they've had a different set of rules that basically says unions can do whatever they want. If it's a private sector non-union pension, they actually have to follow special rules that makes it so that they can't make promises that they can't keep. But that hasn't been the case for unions. And so they've been building this up. They know that it's been a problem. These unfunded liabilities have been rising and rising, and they've been seeking bailouts, and they were able to grab it. When President Biden came in office and passed the American Rescue Plan, nobody really knew about it. And it's just snuck into that bill, and now roughly $90 billion is going out the door. But the part of it is this is just the tip of the iceberg. The bailout that's been approved is only going to cover about 250 of these plans. There are 1,400 of them in total. And 96% of people that have one of these plans is in one that's less than 60% funded. So it's only a matter of time before they all become insolvent. And all we've done here is open up the window, kick the can down the road a little more, and encourage the plans to actually accumulate even higher unfunded liabilities, knowing now that Congress is probably in the future going to say, well, we bailed out some of them, so we may as well bail them all out.
I mean, this is terrible, because the slippery slope is, if you're funding private union pension plans, basically, and bailing them out, what will you not be able to bail out, in any other area? What would be the rule that would say that?
And that's the big problem. You mentioned those public sector plans right there, and they have roughly $6 trillion in unfunded pension promises. State and local governments and unions have been colluding to do the exact same thing. And now that Congress has said federal taxpayers will bail out private plans, how do we think they're going to say no to the teachers and the firefighters when in Illinois?
When everything goes bust.
Pay their pension. Exactly.
Look at speaking of Illinois, I think California is the same way. They've kind of gone belly up with all of their state pensions. But there's been hanky-panky there. There's been hanky-panky there.
Yeah, I mean, these plans have done things like promise, they pay out 13-month bonuses each year. Like, they have not been well managed, and it's all going to come down to taxpayers' expenses. And the question is, do the taxpayers of Illinois have to pay for the reckless actions of their politicians and their unions, or is it going to be taxpayers in Florida and Tennessee and other states that are better managed that are going to have to foot the bill?
We're talking with Rachel Gressler. She is Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. She specializes in things like economics, budget, and entitlements. So she knows what she's talking about. I don't. That's why I'm asking her these questions. But it would seem to me that it should be a great Republican talking point for the upcoming November elections. Now, I'm sure they probably will talk very little about it, Rachel, because I guess it's hard to put it into a phrase or whatever, encapsulate it in a short sentence. But it should be so important to know that people are, in effect, funding the bailout of these failed pension programs, and it probably will it not be raising inflation?
Absolutely, because you're just spending more money directly having it come from the Treasury, which is now just being printed by the Federal Reserve. So yes, it's contributing to that. But if it is a talking point, it's a good one, because yes, the door has been open to roughly $90 billion in bailouts, but it's probably more like $6 to $7 trillion if we're going to bail out the entire union pension crisis across the U.S. So we need to stop that now so that it can at least be held at that $90 billion instead of $7 trillion.
Now that leads me to the question of exactly how do you stop it?
It's hard because these are promises that have already been made, and it's not the workers' fault. They were told, hey, you are working for decades and you're going to take lower pay in exchange for a quote, secure retirement pension. So it's very difficult. But what needs to be done first is you fix the rules so that this is illegal, that you cannot make a promise that you're not going to keep. It's essentially a contract. But then to address the unfunded liabilities that are out there within those systems, whether it's a private union plan or if it's in the state and local ones, you've got to have a little more money coming in, and that's going to be from everybody in it, and it will have to be some level of reduction in benefits.
Okay. Well, here's what I was thinking as you're saying this. A lot of people have 401k plans at smaller companies, right?
Yep.
It's kind of like the union pension plans in the sense that it's a retiree program, and it builds up the longer you stay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if pensions of unions can be bailed out by the government, why can't 401ks be bailed out by the government as well? I mean, where is the logic that says you cannot bail out a 401k? And I'm serious about it.
Exactly.
And right now, I mean, right now. I mean, if a 401k, Rachel, falls apart at some company, do they have... Will the government step in and bail it out?
No, we've never done that before, and we never will, because those are individually owned. And instead, we're talking about union-owned, and the unions are in the pockets of the Democratic politicians they fund.
Of course.
That's the only way this has gotten in here. But what we're essentially doing, it should be compared to the 401ks of private individuals, which have probably gone down about 20% in this year alone because of the stock market, and then add on 9% inflation eating away at that. But nobody's talking about compensating ordinary Americans who have 401ks who have lost value in them. And yet we're essentially saying we are going to guarantee that defined benefit pensions get whatever interest rate assumption that they think they will. So say I think I'm going to get an 8% return every year. Well, if my 401k doesn't get an 8% return every single year, nobody compensates me for that. I need to adjust for that and put more money into it, or say, hey, I can't get 8%. Maybe I can get 6%. But we're really just subsidizing this record.
Yeah, and this is, it just goes back to the same philosophy that the federal government should not be in any way involved in bailing out or, I would say, even backing free market enterprise. Let me ask you something totally different, though. As you know, we've now got an 11.3% hike in wholesale prices. I mean, that is scary. Rachel, are we in a recession right now?
We don't have the official figures that say you're in the recession, but if you look at estimates from the Federal Reserve, yes, they estimate that GDP is going to come out to be negative in the second quarter of 2022, and so we are likely headed into a recession.
Okay. Now, here's another question. I was very happy yesterday when I filled my tank, even though I had to put in $70 worth of gas, because I looked and I saw that the price of per gallon had dropped about 35 or 40 cents. Should I be very happy about that?
Well, not compared to a year ago, right?
No.
I mean,
but
yes,
I'm wondering, do you think it's really going to keep going down, or is it really because there's something bad happening and that's why the price is dropping?
Well, it's not dropping as much as it should if we had more of a free market and if the administration were not trying to close off better, more efficient, more affordable energy sources.
Right. So I'm thinking that the price is dropping because there's probably, what's the word? There's less demand for the product also. Yeah. Are people pulling back?
It's gotten so expensive that people are having to alter their behaviors, and they're not being able to take the trip. They're not driving as much because it is so expensive, and that's what happens when the price of things goes up.
Is there any hope for us? I guess I'm asking you. I'm throwing it into your lap. I mean, are we in November? Let's say the Republicans win both houses. They still got Biden to sit there and veto anything, right? But can we stop any of this stuff? I mean, should we hope for that, do you think?
When the current administration, you still have somebody that is going to veto a lot of the actions that could help improve the economy, could give Americans relief from this record high inflation that's out there. There are things that can be done, but yes, I don't know that they're going to happen in the near term. So we are likely headed into a recession.
Oh boy.
We might be facing stagflation. One silver lining here that's going on is we have an incredibly strong labor market. It's also problematic because there aren't enough workers, and it's contributing to supply chain struggles and all that. But this is one thing that will be unique, assuming we are headed into a recession here, is that the unemployment rate is extremely low, and there are a record number of job openings still out there.
All right. We'll stare at the silver lining for a while. Rachel, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right. Our pleasure. Rachel Gressler. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, I don't know how, Ed, I don't know how Andrew's going to feel about this report from conservatives. He says they're probing to the election in 2020. Says, quite frankly, Biden won. Let's find out what he thinks.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this TAN Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and this is kind of an interesting story. A group of prominent conservatives have released a new report, came out yesterday, outlining their investigation into the 2020 election. They've concluded that Trump's claim of a stolen election are unfounded. Now, the report, it's called Lost, Not Stolen, was put together by three former federal judges and eight conservative leaders. These include Benjamin Ginsburg, an election attorney who has worked in Republican politics, John Danforth, he's a former senator, Gordon H. Smith is a former senator, longtime Republican Congressional Chief of Staff David Hoppe, former Solicitor General Ted Olson. Ted Olson, if you remember, back in the Bush, George W. Bush race with Al Gore, was one of those that fought to get George Bush elected when there was that deal down here in Florida. And there was a few others that are on here. Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, do you still buy into the fact that Donald Trump probably won the 2020 presidential election?
Well, Paul, all the names you just drew off for you, especially the Ginsburg name, telling me they're conservatives, I got to add, instead of 19 Republicans that are rhinos or Republicrats, I got to say there's 25 now.
Okay. So there, I know what you mean, and I think you may be right. I looked at Ted Olson, and I remember him... You know, Ted Olson's wife died in that plane crash in 2001 over, where was it, Pennsylvania, wherever that crashed? Anyway, yes, it could well be that these are kind of like Bush Republicans, if you know what I'm saying.
Of course they are. You're trying to Trump out to this point.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of baloney, Paul.
Okay.
They're all upset because Trump exposed them all.
All right, we shall dismiss this post-haste. Okay. Now, Trump goes up to Alaska, and he starts bad-mouthing Lisa Murkowski. Now, Lisa Murkowski is another one that is, kind of a liberal Republican, right?
She's called a Republican.
She's a Republican. She is, to some extent. But he's also bad-mouthing Elon Musk. He's bad-mouthing Elon Musk, who, don't bad-mouth a guy that's becoming a Republican. Why would he do that? Is his skin so thin?
No, I'll tell you why he did that. Because he caught Elon Musk in a lie. Okay, Elon Musk at one time, he said that it's the first time he voted for a Republican.
Oh, that's right. You and I talked about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he also said he voted for Trump in 2020.
Yeah, which begs the question, drop the subject, Donald. Why do you have such an ego that you have to call him out on it and destroy it? A potential friendship, and possibly, if Trump announces he wants to run, wouldn't he want to have Elon Musk to back him?
You know, Paul, Elon Musk will end up backing him. There's no question.
Yeah, but I mean...
Listen, Paul, this is life. People go back and forth with this stuff. I've had people badmouth me. It's a stupid little thing. That's just a picky little thing.
Yeah, I know.
People are going to blow up into nothing. It's nothing.
Okay. Now I got another topic for you. The press is giddy with the fact that they have found an Ohio 10-year-old girl that was apparently raped. It turns out the person that raped her was an illegal immigrant. I picked up USA Today yesterday. They had a big story about this. Huge. You had to turn the page to go to more of the story. Not once did they mention that it was an illegal immigrant that raped her. Not once in the whole story. To me, that's a mortal sin.
Well, it is, Paul, because they should be talking about it, and they don't. They're trying to hide it. Listen, they got the biggest comforter they can over the Democrat Party. Comfort them, because this is the party we want. And they're protecting them. That's all they do. People are onto it, Paul.
Yeah, I think so, too. This was a Guatemalan illegal immigrant. He's been charged in this. And for a long time, the people in Ohio, I guess the officials in Ohio, medical officials, weren't saying much about it. Now, it's a terrible thing. And you do want to have this girl taken care of. You don't want to have her to deal with this. I can certainly understand it. And I don't think there's a state in the union that wouldn't take this girl and terminate at this point, because it's not a viable situation anyway, that wouldn't take this girl and terminate this. But they're making it seem like Ohio and all of these other states, oh, no, you're going to have to carry this baby to term.
Yeah, Paul, it's all political baloney.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're trying to use abortion for the midterm elections. And again, like I told you yesterday, they can talk about abortion. They can talk about Trump. But the main thing, Paul, is they're hitting people in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's destroying them, period.
Now, another topic. You and I have been talking about the 13th Congressional District. And I have been getting and seeing on television all kinds of commercials. Have you noticed that?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about our buddy, who is an attorney from the Clearwater area. Kevin Haislett. And I've seen him on TV, and you were able to help get Kevin on our show. And we're going to have him on again soon, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And... Anna Paulina Luna. Now, I take it that these two will never shake hands, no matter where they are, or do you think it's one of these kiss and make-ups after the primary?
No.
No what? They won't shake him.
Make-up.
Okay.
Look, politics are dirty, Paul. You got one stand-up person from Clearwater, lived here all his life, prominent businessman, knows business, knows the laws, very experienced, a hell of a resume running. And then you got Anna Paulina Luna,
lunatic running. Everything she's talked about is a lie. She's 32 years old, and tell me what experience she's got in running a business, let alone a job that pays $170,000 a year with all the benefits you can handle. She, you know, it's ridiculous. The other two women, it's like I told you, if Kevin wasn't involved, I'd be behind Amanda Mackey.
Yes, yeah, I think you had mentioned something about that. Well, Kevin Hazlitt has got a very good track record from what I can see. He's an attorney. In fact, we've talked about the fact that I believe his father was a dentist.
Yes, he's a dentist, one of the first dentists, I believe, on Hamilton Road.
Yeah. Now, Kevin has been endorsed by the sheriff of Pinellas County, among other people, but I don't think he was endorsed by Donald Trump. What's going on?
Well, Paul, according to what I've understood, and I believe it's fact, Anna Paulina went to a fundraiser for Trump, I guess back in last September or something, and she paid him $50,000 for an endorsement.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, you know, Donald Trump, I
don't... Well, we don't know that for sure. Is that correct? You don't know that for sure.
From what I understand, Donald Trump has taken in $1.4 million for endorsements.
Mm-hmm. Now, she could contribute to his campaign fund legally, right?
I guess. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be illegal. Okay.
But that's why I'm just telling you. This is what I understand. I mean, I haven't heard Donald Trump say another word about Anna Paulina.
Yeah, I haven't either.
He was taking it to fundraising. Now, if he was really backing it, look how he was talking about all these
people.
Oh,
you're right. We're talking with I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
Yeah, he's not talking about her at all. And if he was heavily endorsing her, he'd be talking about her. He's not.
We're talking with
money and run.
We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Pole. He knows a lot about local politics. His name is Andrew Ceresi, and he's also a great haircut man. In fact, his whole staff, you always hire good people there. Your wonderful daughter does a great haircut as well. Hey, I would be remiss, Andrew, if I didn't bring up Ivana Trump. It shocked me because she was relatively young, 73.
Yes,
and
sir.
Apparently they found her at the bottom of a stairs in her place in New York. And she might have had a heart attack. She divorced, of course, Donald, but she was his first wife. They had three children. He subsequently married Marla Maples, and then he married Melania Trump. But he seemed to have remained close to Ivana.
Yeah.
Thanks. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
There's nothing wrong with that, sure.
No, there isn't.
Nothing at all.
I just thinking, you know, with the kids and everything, it was it's kind of a sad moment for Donald, isn't it?
Sure it is. It's a sad moment for the whole family, Paul.
It is. It really is. She seemed like a nice person.
Life, yeah.
Yeah.
But I could tell you, I mean, she looked like a pretty rough 73 years old in the pictures that they're showing on the news.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they say she had a heart attack.
Well, maybe she was, yeah. I don't know that they have confirmed it, but it sounds like she did have a heart attack. So maybe she was aging here at the end, huh?
Yeah, could have been, but she didn't age well, I can tell you that.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it's a sad thing.
As you get older.
Yes,
but anyway,
I feel it now.
I'm sorry?
But I feel my age.
Yeah, we're all starting to feel our age. There's no question about that. Time marches. What is it? Time waits for nobody. So
that's it.
Yeah.
But you know, Paul, you see Biden on his hands and knees in Saudi Arabia begging for the gas. And you know how stupid the American people are? This one really makes me laugh. The gas was $5 a gallon. It used to be $2 a gallon. Went up to $5 a gallon. Everybody is miserable. Oh, it went down 50 cents. This is beautiful. They're doing a good job.
I know.
The American people.
I know. You're right.
Give me a freaking break.
I know. I know.
They still should be cursing at him.
Here's another thing about that. First of all, while he's over there, I guess he made some... He honored the Holocaust, but he used it in such a sense that it was an honorable event. So he had to quickly backtrack on that. I kind of felt sorry for him on that one, but he's going to put his foot in his mouth in front of the Saudi Arabian prince. You know he's going to. He probably put his foot in front of his mouth with the Israeli people as well.
You know, Paul, it makes me laugh because what they're doing to this old man is cruel. They're letting him make a fool in front of himself. They know he's not the rightful president. They know he shouldn't be the president. They know he can't handle the office of it. They got Barack Obama pulling his strings, telling him what to do. Listen, he's reading the teleprompter, telling him to repeat the sentence.
Yeah, I know. So why don't you just be honest and say, look, I've appointed Barack Obama to be my roving ambassador. He's going to go over to the Mideast, and he'll talk right with the crown. Why should they send Biden? You know what I mean? Make him the roving ambassador, the spokesman.
Like in a movie, they got to play the part.
Okay.
They have to play the part. But the guy is a loser. The whole Democrat Party is a loser. I can't believe the Democrat Party is still. I mean, how many people in this country are that stupid to back up what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're breaking the country. Listen, they're giving the Ukraine how many billions of dollars more that we don't even have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, let's face it. The war in Ukraine is old news. We've given them how many billions, and now Zelensky wants us to rebuild them.
No, you're right about it being old news, by the way. I mean, look, I haven't mentioned a word about that war. I don't even think I mentioned a word about the war in my last show. And it's really come off the front page, and yet that's a horrible thing that's going on over there.
Hey, Paul, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Ukraine has been a corrupt country. I don't trust Zelensky either. Okay, it's been a corrupt country.
I trust him a lot. I trust him a lot more than Putin.
Well, possibly.
Possibly?
Listen, they're
possibly.
Well, they're both corrupt countries, Paul, both of them. Okay? They've been in cahoots for years. Who knows what the hell is between them? All I know is they're milking us. Period.
But you got to believe that Russia is the aggressor.
Well, I also believe there were 11 biological labs over there, too.
Yeah, there are, but I'm not saying either one of them is a saint.
That's
but come on. They got invaded by a beast that's killing innocent people.
Paul, I could care less what they do over there.
Oh, okay.
I live in America. Okay, America's hurting right now, and these morons are taking care of everybody else but the American people. We need to worry about ourselves.
Yeah.
We can't worry about the world, Paul.
No, you're right, but it's you know, I just
listen, until they come out and they get Hunter Biden with his work and the old man's work in Ukraine, I don't trust none of them, Paul.
No, I don't blame you.
And listen, Zelensky sat right there and told Trump, I am not going to go back and research this. I'm done with it. We're going forward.
Oh, so you think Zelensky was actually running cover for Biden?
That's right.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's why I'm telling you.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You got him compromised by Russia, China, and the Ukraine. Now, Zelensky's sitting there telling him, listen, you better give us arms or I'm going to open my mouth. And Putin's saying, give him arms, make it look good, but nothing that's going to beat us. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm trying to follow it. So you got Putin involved somehow in this whole thing with Zelensky.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
The plots.
Give them weapons. Make them look like you're helping them out. Meanwhile, you better not give them nothing that's going to blow us away, because if you do, I'm going to start speaking what went on over here.
Yeah. Well, though,
he's compromised all over, Paul.
Well, as they say, the plot sickens. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. God bless you. And thank you very much for being with us again. And I'm looking forward to our Monday conversation.
You got it, buddy. You have a good weekend.
All right, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Boy, he's a very opinionated young man. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, another edition of Campus Quackery. Why is an Ohio college not paying up in the trial damages it was assessed for a false racism charge?
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. Big Ed, bless his heart, he puts all our shows on podcast. So if you miss it, go to ourfreedomworks.com and click on the podcast button and watch our shows. All right. Now, do you remember Oberlin College in Ohio? They were found guilty of false racism allegations with a bakery nearby that the students would go to. And the bakery was awarded almost $32 million in July of 2019 after the students and a college official were found guilty of libeling the bakery as, quote, racist, unquote, following an altercation that a store employee had with three black students. Well, it turned out the judgment now stands at $36 million. You know that they haven't paid a penny? They haven't paid a penny of this to the bakery. So now the bakery's got to go back and spend, I guess, more court costs to try and collect the money. I don't know what's going on with this thing. But Wilbur the duck should be out quacking. He should be out quacking about this. This is terrible. All three students in this altercation at the bakery at the time were arrested and pled guilty to misdemeanor charges. They were screwing around. They were stealing bottles of wine. The owner chased down and tackled one of the students who was running down the street with a bottle of wine. So there you go. I mean, come on, man. I don't know what they were thinking. But they haven't paid. Let's see here. So Gibson's filed a lawsuit claiming they were libeled when the college began to comment that all of this happened because they were black students. So what a mess that has become. All right. That's enough about that. It is time for our top 10. And I think we got a good one here, Ed. Ed, first of all, let me ask you, do you enjoy watching the Oscars every year?
Well, I do now.
Well, okay. So maybe last year's event might have been, you know, Andrew might think, for instance, that it was a planned event so that now it would increase the rating.
That's kind of dangerous to do something like that.
No, I know that. Kind of doubtful.
I won't watch it ever again. It's been ruined because they're supposed to get up there and talk about, you know, their accomplishments and thank everybody. But they kind of divert it. Here's my 5 minutes or 2 minutes of political statements and whatnot. So it's a big turnoff.
Don't blame you. All right. But these are... in somebody's mind, these are the top 10 most awkward Oscar moments. Number 10, Kathleen York's crash in the 2006 crash, a dopey, badly aimed criticism of racism, widely thought to be the worst to win Best Picture, that's the name of the movie, Crash, was nothing compared to the musical performance that accompanied it. Kathleen York's rendition of In the Deep should be remembered for many things. The backdrop of a literal burning car while she was singing on stage. It's kind of funny. Number nine. The Trial of John Travolta, 2014 and 2015. All John Travolta had to say was Idina Menzel. Instead, he butchered Menzel's name beyond all recognition in announcing the award as he introduced a performance of Let It Go, mangling it into the unrecognizable Adele Dazeem. All right, number eight, Ray Parker Jr., 1985 Oscars forklift driver. Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters theme nominated for Best Song in 85, but his performance bore zero resemblance to anything remotely connected to the song. Three Ghostbusters appeared, but they were dressed in purple satin jumpsuits, and to be they appeared to be holding the same rotten laser guns as James Bond.
Jeez. That was funny. That's a wardrobe malfunction there.
All right. Number seven. Jenny Bevan's Walk of Silence, Mad Max Fury Road, in 2016, won six Oscars. It created a room full of resentful losers, and she walked down the aisle to collect the award. Nobody, it was dead silence. Oh, boy. All right. Number six, Dick Poop, 2015. Imagine you're a famed you're Dick Pope, a famed cinematographer. Over the course of your career, you've been known for adding a layer of sumptuous beauty to films. So you watch the Oscar nominations. To your delight, your name appears on screen. And then Cheryl Boone Isaacs, president of the Academy Awards of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, calls you Dick Poop. I don't think so. That would kind of ruin things.
Yep.
Number five, David Niven Streaker. I remember this.
Really?
1974. Yeah, David Niven, Oscars legend, while presenting, a mustachioed man shot out on stage, stark naked, running behind him. To which Niven said, "Isn't it fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings?"
Yeah, less than a minute.
Okay. Number four. The Ceremony. Jerry Lewis forced to clamber on stage and vamp for his life. Number three. La La Land Moonlight. A mix-up, 2017. Number two. Rob Lowe duets with Snow White, 1989. I can just imagine that one. Okay. All right. And number one.
It has to be...
What do you think?
Will Smith, who decked Chris Rock.
Will Smith sucker punches Chris Rock. Apparently, the lesson to be learned is don't make fun of a celebrity's wife's looks, no matter how much you claim to respect her. And there you go. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Monday. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Dorsey.